The Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, Episode 57. India grows 12 million tons of mangoes in a year, the weight equivalent to 80,000 blue whales. Millions of mangoes, mangoes for me.
One, two, three. I'll show you Paris in the morning. I'll show you London afternoon. If you feel your Dublin heart is burning, yeah, well, you don't have to worry, cause we're going there soon. No, you don't.
Hello, travel nerds, and welcome back to another edition of the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, the show that'll help you travel more while spending less. I'm your host, Travis Sherry, and whether this is your first time listening or you have listened to every single one of our 57 episodes, we are happy that you're tuning in today, and thanks for making us the number one rated travel podcast on iTunes. In case you missed the announcement the last 2 days, we are now on day 3 of podcast gluttony. Because of the awesome response and feedback from the survey that we ran in August, we decided that instead of releasing a show once every week, we would up it and release an episode every single weekday, Monday through Friday, for the whole month of September. That's 22 shows in total throughout September. Is it crazy? Yes, but you asked for it and we think you're going to love it. And if you do love it, let us know and we'll continue to do it. We're also going to branch out and change the format a little bit. We're still bringing you interviews with great guests each week, including an episode coming up tomorrow with a lady who cooked this meal from every single country in the world over 3 years. But we'll also be supplementing the interviews with three other types of shows as well. We're going to be doing a top 10 list show where a co-host and I come on and rank the top 10 things in various travel categories, which you listeners told us you absolutely loved when Heather and I have done this a few times in the past. And if you want to listen to one of them. Heather and I just released one this week as the first day of Podcast Gluttony about our top 10 favorite road trips of all time. I think you guys will love that show. It was really fun for us to do. The second new type of show we're going to do is a listener questions episode where we tackle questions that come from you guys. And we've got questions already coming in. We have some episodes already planned around them. If you have a question, whether it's a travel hacking question, a general travel question, anything like that, you can send it to trav@extrapackofpeanuts.com. Put podcast question in the subject line and we may just read it on air and answer it on the podcast. And lastly, the third type of show that we're doing and the one that we are doing today is called Destination Diaries, where Heather and I will give you the real scoop of what it's like to travel to a certain place, as well as give you recommendations for places that we stayed and ate at that place, and also things to stay away from. And what better way to start off the Destination Diaries series than with a country that is unlike any other in the world and is one that is becoming a major tourist destination, and that is India. Heth, I once heard this quote before we went to India, and it's stuck with me ever since, and it goes, there are two types of travelers, those who have been to India and those who haven't. Is that a true statement?
Well, I guess it's true in the way that India is probably the most difficult country that we ever traveled to. So once you've been there, you feel like you can go anywhere. It's actually also one of the most exquisitely beautiful countries we've ever been to. So once you realize that the difficulty definitely is worth the beauty.
Yeah, I would 100% agree. India is unlike anywhere else we have been. We're going to give you our itinerary real quick. And what we're going to do for India, since it's such a big country, we obviously haven't been anywhere, we're going to break it down by city that we went to. So our itinerary went, we flew into Mumbai, then we went up to Delhi, didn't spend any time in Delhi, went down to Agra to see the Taj Mahal, and then we went across the region of Rajasthan, which is the northwest province district of India. So we went to Jaipur, Jaisalmer, Jodhpur, Udaipur, and then back to Mumbai. So let's start with Mumbai. Heather, you mentioned that India was the hardest country we ever traveled through. I 100% agree. It is the only place that I have ever had real culture shock. And let's talk about Mumbai and how that kind of went for us.
So we arrived in Mumbai after coming from Bali, which is quite a transition. And our friend Nick was actually living in Mumbai at the time with the U.S. Foreign Service. So he met us at the airport, which made us feel pretty comfortable. We didn't plan ahead very many things at all. Nick's there waiting for us. The first thing we have to do is catch a taxi. Even that's kind of difficult because you have to basically barter with people. Then we leave the airport, we drive through the slums, and we get to his apartment.
Yeah, and we should mention that our buddy Nick is part of the U.S. Foreign Service, and it's interesting because we showed up August 3rd. He had only arrived August 1st, so he knew nothing as well. And we got to his apartment. It was a really nice apartment, but Mumbai was so much different than anywhere else we had been. And we were there for 3 days. We stayed at Nick's apartment, but it was very, very hard. And this is hard to even, you know, kind of admit, but it was very hard for all three of us to leave the apartment because every time we would, you know, there's poverty at every level, even though we were staying in one of the nicest areas of Mumbai. There was poverty as soon as you walked out the door. It was rainy season, so it was super muddy. You'd get all muddy. There's people begging, and it's just, it really assaults your senses, and it was something we weren't ready for. So it was a rough 3 days in Mumbai, I think, for all of us. And we did have culture shock to the point that we would sit in the apartment, we'd watch the Olympics, and we wanted to go out into Mumbai, but it was just very, very hard to do.
So with that being the starting point, we decided that we had better just dig in and start exploring this country. So some of Nick's friends in the Foreign Service gave us some recommendations, and we decided the best way to see the country would actually be to rent a driver, which is not something that we would typically splurge on. In India, it's actually very affordable, but you know, we're used to taking trains and buses and kind of roughing it. And we decided that to enjoy India in the capacity that we wanted to, hiring a driver and driving to all of these places in Rajasthan was definitely the way to go.
So we decided that we would leave Mumbai. Before we left Mumbai, we did have a very funny experience in that we kept getting ripped off in the taxis. Now, when I say ripped off, we were paying like $3 when we should have paid 30 cents. But we did not understand that the meters then went to a table that you were supposed to read, and that's how much you had to pay. We thought that the meters were how much you had to pay. So we kept giving people more money. They kept smiling really big at us. And that's when we realized something must be wrong. And I finally went and Googled it and put like Mumbai taxi meters and found out that I had been paying like 10 times too much. We also had an experience where we went out for brunch in Mumbai at this really uppity club. It was like a Sunday brunch, but it was basically all foreign service workers and then like these Mumbai bigwigs, and it was $40, all you could eat, all you could drink. So not how I would imagine my very first meal in India to be. We made the best of it, of course. It was all you can drink, but we quickly left Mumbai. We didn't really enjoy Mumbai at all, and we then flew up to Delhi where we got the driver, like Heather said. We didn't spend any time in Delhi, and we went right down to Agra, which is home to the Taj Mahal.
Visiting the Taj Mahal was definitely a surreal experience. While the city of Agra is not very pleasant, it's pretty run down, you can't miss seeing the Taj Mahal. When we arrived in Agra, our driver dropped us off at our accommodation, which was probably the worst place we have ever seen in our lives. I know I might have said that before, but this was truly the case.
Yeah, so we arrived and we had a driver. We should mention it was $60 a day for the driver and for gas and everything. So we had him for about 10 days, I believe. We paid $600. You can get it cheaper if you barter hard, but you know, for us, that was a really good price. So we arrived, we went and we stayed at this place called the Hotel Taj Place, and we got there and it was so run down. There was no one even there except for one young kid who showed us into a room. It didn't lock or anything. It looked like someone's house. And so we quickly decided that we wanted to leave. So he got the owner, who wouldn't give us our money back until Heather, of course, then got on the phone with other people. And we ended up getting our money back and moved down to the Hotel Taj Plaza. Now, you're going to notice all these places basically sound the same, and they, you know, they come and go. But we stay at the Hotel Taj Plaza. It was right down the road from the Taj Mahal. And we would definitely recommend that. It was run by a very nice Indian guy who had spent a lot of time in America. So if you're looking, don't go Hotel Taj Place. Go Hotel Taj Plaza. We were only there for one night. We ate there. It had a rooftop deck. You could see the Taj Mahal. It was really nice. And I would say that the Taj Mahal itself is worth seeing, but Agra itself, there is no reason to linger there. And we only stayed one night. Until then, we moved on to our next destination, which was Jaipur.
Jaipur was one of my favorite cities. Our accommodation was my absolute favorite accommodation in all of India. It was called Madhuban. And it was a traditional Indian haveli, which is like an old palace, but that's been renovated into an accommodation, a hotel. It was just beautiful. Our bedroom had this beautiful wooden bed with a canopy. And it was just very exquisite. It had a pool, which is kind of unusual, I think, for India. And it is very hot there. So that was enjoyable. And also the restaurant that was connected to the hotel was also very good.
Yeah, so if you do go to Jaipur, we can definitely recommend Madhuban. A few of the things that we did, Jaipur is known as the Pink City because of the pink walls and buildings. There's an amber fort and palace, so we went up there. We did a tour there. We actually got a tour guide there as we were up there who walked us around and things like that. Then we went 400 meters straight up to the fortress above there, and that was really cool. You basically walk straight up above the palace, and there's the fortress. You could see the walls all along there. It's just a really, really cool experience. And some of the other cool experiences we had were with dealing with the people in Jaipur.
One night, Travis and I decided not to eat at our hotel restaurant and to venture out into the city of Jaipur. So it had been raining all day. It was kind of difficult to find a tuk-tuk there, you know, taxis, their motor scooterized taxis. So we found this one that was completely decked out, lit up with lights and like love signs. It was wild. And we were thinking, what is this? So we flagged him down. We hopped in. He was actually a really nice, well-spoken. His English was great. He was a young guy. It was his and his father's company. And he drove us to our restaurant. Well, along the way, he's talking to us about what we've done, what we're seeing, what we're interested in. And we park outside the restaurant and he's still talking to us. And he mentions something about a textile vendor for anthropology. And at that point, I was really surprised, like thinking, does he mean anthropology, the clothing store? Because it's kind of obscure. I didn't think anyone in India would know about that, even though they do source a lot of products from there. Anyway, he did mean anthropology, the store. So he waited for us to have dinner. And after dinner, he drove us to this anthropology vendor where we got to see amazing bedspreads and other textiles. And that was a really fun experience for me.
Yeah, we went to the Peacock Rooftop hostel slash bar slash restaurant. The food was not that great, but it was a very interesting place. So if you're looking to stay somewhere in Jaipur and you want more of that expat feel, there's a ton of people at the Peacock Rooftop hostel, and that would be a good place to be. We also recommend, as we said, Madhuban if you want more of a classy upscale feel. We should say Madhuban was probably like $25 a night, which for India, you know, fairly expensive, but obviously well worth it for people who are traveling and want, you know, a nice feel. There. The guy waited outside for us. He did then take us to this textile vendor. We should mention that he did have a few swigs of vodka in between the hour that we were eating dinner. So he took us there. Another thing that we would recommend doing in Jaipur. So if you're there, definitely go to the textile mills. You can see the block printing on fabric. They will try to sell you rugs. They'll try to sell you everything. But you know, you can get out of there with just saying no. And we asked our driver, can you take us to some of these textile mills? Show us how they do the block printing. You can go, you can see how they do it. And if you're pretty, not aggressive, but if you just tell them, no, I don't want this, no, I don't want this, you can get out of there without spending stuff. Of course, if you want stuff, you can get great deals on it. One other thing we should mention, definitely get the yogurt lassis in Jaipur. They come in these clay cups. I think they're about 10 to 15 cents each. And then what you're supposed to do with the clay cups is just throw them on the ground and break them. I don't understand why, instead of reusing them, but it's kind of a cool experience and something that you should do in Jaipur. So moving on from Jaipur then, the next place that we did, and we should mention that the driver then took us on all these back roads, you know, in between each city was, it's a good 5 to 10 hours, but depending on traffic and if cows are in the road and if there's mudslides and stuff like that. But the next city we got to was then Jaisalmer.
When we got to Jaisalmer, we didn't actually go to the city first. We went into the desert and we did a safari. Now, I was a little bit nervous about doing this because, you know, you sleep out in a tent in the desert, you ride a camel. People had told us that some of their camels had fleas, all these things. I like to be adventurous, but I also like a comfortable spot to sleep in at night. However, any uncomfortableness for this part of the trip was well worth it because it was just unlike anything we had ever experienced. From driving up to this, I don't know, type of, not a hotel, but like a tent city in the middle of the desert. There were a lot of other expats, so that was kind of fun. We got to meet people, we got to hang out, and we got on a camel and we ventured into the desert.
Yeah, and Jaisalmer is the furthest west city in India. So you are literally in the desert. You're about 30 miles from the Pakistani border. And we should mention this whole area of Rajasthan. I didn't even know this type of thing existed in India, but it's like being in the movie Aladdin. That's the best way that I can describe it to anyone. You have these huge fortresses in all these cities because they used to be their own little cities and kingdoms. So you have the fortresses, you have the palaces, they're on the hills, they're overlooking the city. So each one of these used to be their own thing. And now, you know, they've become this area of Rajasthan, but they're still their own cities. So it's a very, very neat experience. Again, I didn't know that kind of thing existed in India. I always thought that was more Middle Eastern, but this area is a very Middle Eastern feel for it. Jaisalmer was my favorite. So we get out for the camel safari. You know, like we said, there's a tent city there, and they tell us, okay, you guys are going to get on these camels and you're going to ride these camels. They also mentioned that it had not rained for something like 45 days out this way. So we're like, okay, this is cool. So we get out on the camels and we're literally riding camels through the desert, just like you could imagine if someone said, I rode a camel through the desert. That's exactly what it was. We had these guys leading our camels and things like that, but it was a very cool experience. There was no one around. It was just me, Heather, and then, you know, two or three other people who were in our group. And then the wind started to pick up.
While we were out there, there was a huge windstorm and we thought we could just wait it out. So our guides were like, okay, let's everyone get off down the camels and like we're going to sit next to this scrub brush that was out in the middle of the desert and just wait it out. But it just got so bad. The wind was whipping and the sand was like burning our faces. So we all had to just hop back up on our camels and literally gallop with them back to the camp. And then it starts raining. Oh, it was not a very fun experience, but it was really funny. I don't know if you've ever been on a camel when it's galloping. It's a little bit unlike a horse. It's quite uncomfortable, especially for women.
Yeah, so we had been told by the guides, oh, it's just a windstorm. It'll probably pass. Do you want to go back? And we had originally, we're supposed to sleep out in the desert, not at the tent city. So they said, do you want to go back or do you want to stay out here and sleep out here tonight? And we said, we want to sleep out here. And a few other people went back. And they said, oh, this windstorm will pass. So we're out there. And even during the windstorm, we're running across these dunes. And it's just dunes as far as the eye can see, just these amazing deserts. And then they tell us, like, you know what? I really think we should get back on the camels. It's going to start raining. And we said, it hasn't rained for 45 days. No big deal. And then the floodgates just opened up. Torrential rain, wind whipping us. So we're galloping back towards the tent city. It's probably a couple miles. At this point, the guide had hopped on the camel with us because he couldn't run fast enough to keep up with the camel. And he's making it go faster and faster. You can't see anything because the rain is coming right at you. The sand is blowing on you. But literally by the time we got back, I've never been so wet and you felt like someone had just taken like a sandblaster and covered you in sand for like days. We were trying to get the sand off of us, but we made it back to the tent city. And then that night, you know, they were giving us beers and food and they cooked and they had some traditional dancing and stuff. So overall, very cool experience. And then we actually went into the city of Jaisalmer, which is my favorite experience and favorite city in India. And it's just really, really cool because it has this fort. It's a city, a walled city, and it's the oldest living inhabited fort in the world. And what that means is that people are actually living inside of the city walls still, just like they had been doing 1,000 years ago when there was a fort and city walls and all the homes were built into the city walls and no one lived outside of the city walls. So people are still doing that. It's just a fascinating, fascinating place.
Yeah, that was truly an incredible city. And one travel tip for Jaisalmer is to actually stay outside the city walls. You can, there are hotels inside the fort. It had been recommended to us that we stay outside the city because they're actually having a very large problem with the water consumption and the sewer in the city is causing the walls to crumble and they just can't keep up with the demand of people staying and living in the city. So we stayed outside the city, but it was just, I don't know, maybe a 5-minute walk to the walls. And once you enter the gates, it's just like a whole other world. You feel like you've been transported back in time. All the streets are cobblestone. There's vendors and markets everywhere you look. There's temples inside the fort. You could just get lost in there. I mean, we spent an entire day just wandering around and stopping into a couple shops and buying some really beautiful handmade blankets that people, actually widows in India. It was a company who sourced these out to widows, making them to help support them because they really get ostracized from society when their husbands die. So it was just a really cool experience. And I know Travis has kind of a funny story about that.
Yeah, so we were at this shop that the widows were working at, and we were looking to buy some products from them and some gifts for other people from them so that they would get the money. And I didn't have any cash on me. And so the lady said to me, oh, don't worry, I'm going to call my brother. And her brother came and he has a scooter and he tells me, well, do you want to go to the ATM? And I said, sure. He's a really nice guy. He said, hop on the back. The place we were at was called Bellissima, and that was the store we were at. And so I hop on the back and he starts whipping through these tiny city streets. You know, we're going downhills, uphills. There's people. He's beeping. They're jumping out of the way. I'm holding on the back for dear life. I ask him, like, can I please hold you around, like, the chest? Because I was afraid I was going to fall off. Seemed a little weird, but, I mean, I take that over falling off a motor scooter going 35 to 45 miles an hour over this cobblestone. So he's whipping around. He actually says to me, yeah, I'm taking it easy because you're on the back. And I, you know, at first it was a little odd because here's a guy I don't know taking me to the ATM. I wondered if there was some ulterior motive. But in the end, nothing like that at all. He took me to the ATM. We got money. We went back. We bought some gifts for people. So just a really, really cool experience. And the inside the fort, the city there is just really cool. We don't really have a place that we'd recommend staying. We would recommend staying outside the fort, as Heather said, to help so that the fort walls don't fall down. But, you know, there's a ton of different places, and the place we stayed was not really memorable. I don't even remember the name of it.
Actually, the driver, when you hire the car and driver service, you can also include your accommodation in that for an extra, I think it usually is about $30 to $40 a night at the different places. And they are all pretty nice, average places. Sometimes we had already booked in advance, like Madhuban, we booked ourselves. In this case, it was just a place that the driver had recommended, and it was perfectly comfortable.
Yeah, so you can do that. You'll probably pay a little more for them setting it up. But, you know, if you don't want the hassle of finding your own places, then that's fine as well. We will tell you there are two really good places that we ate. One, believe it or not, is a good Italian restaurant called Gisel Italy, and it's actually on top of the city wall right outside the main gate. And we went there because it was raining. Nothing was open this one night. I think it was a holiday, and we were craving, you know, we'd been eating Indian food for like 2 weeks. So we went to this place figuring out how good could this be. It was actually pretty good. The walls were actually, it was lightning, and the walls had become like electrified somehow. So they told you not to touch the walls. Of course, I was a little like anxious, so I did actually touch the wall, and it sent a shock through me. It was a pretty interesting experience. So Gisel Italy, if you're in Gisimer and you want some Italian food, if you have that hankering, that's a good place. And there's another place directly across the street from the main gate, and I don't remember the name of it, but basically you walk into the pharmacy that is right across from the main gate. You walk up their back stairs to the second or third floor, and it's this tiny little place that serves these thalis, which are traditional Indian food, and they're really, really good. They're less than like a dollar each, and we have been told by other travelers to go there. So I definitely recommend that. You know, walk into the pharmacy, walk through, tell them you want to go to the restaurant. They'll point you up there. Again, a really local, authentic experience.
So that was actually outside the fort, right? Not inside.
Right. Right outside the main gate. If you're at the main gate and you look straight across, there's a pharmacy there, and then you can go up to the second floor, and it's like an outdoor eating area. So after Gisimer then, and we both highly recommend Gisimer, we went back then, back east a little bit to the town of Jodhpur.
The town of Jodhpur is called the Blue City because the walls were painted blue a long time ago to differentiate between the political and higher class. They keep the walls blue today because it's said to keep insects away. So I don't know if that's true or not, but it's an interesting little tidbit of trivia. I really enjoy Jodhpur because, like I said, it's the Blue City. The colors that we saw in this city were so vibrant and so beautiful. Like, you're walking down the streets, and it was quite muddy and rainy there, but the beauty of the city wasn't even detracted from that, because, you know, one street we went down, this beautiful door was just painted like a teal turquoise color, and the whole building was kind of crumbling and falling down. But just the photo opportunities there, I really enjoyed.
And we stayed in a haveli that, once again, the driver had set up for us. The havelis are the old mansions of the rich people in India that now they've converted into many, many rooms. It was decent. There's havelis all through Jodhpur, so I don't think you can go wrong at all at staying at any of them. A few of the things that you want to do in Jodhpur, one of the best experiences for us was we just got out and walked around through the entire Blue City, like back in these areas that were very, very local. And it was just a very cool experience to walk around the town. It's a very walkable town. You can go up to the Jodhpur Fort, which is called the Mehranga Fort. I think that's right. It sits above the city. Really nice views of Jodhpur. We got the audio guide. It really helped explain what was going on there. And one of the things that Heather liked to do was some of the shopping in Jodhpur.
In Jodhpur, there are lots of vendors, but I think the most famous thing to buy in Jodhpur are the spices. We went to a place called MV Spice, which is the recommended, apparently, original spice shop.
Yes, there will be a lot of these spice shops right next to MV Spice, like literally the five shops right around it. They're called like MB Spice, MD Spice, because they're trying to play off this idea that tourists will not know which one to go to, but MV, as in like violet, is the one that you should be going to. It's the oldest one. It's the most famous one.
So I went a little wild, we could say, and I bought lots of chai tea spices. I mean, I wanted to give some away to our family members and friends as well, but you can buy tandoori spice. You can buy all sorts of curry spices. It's amazing. And the owners of the shop, it's a family-run business, and the daughter of the owner was the one there that day, and she was giving us all these tips and recommendations. She took our email and said they will even email you recipes on how to cook with these spices, because it can be a little bit overwhelming if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, so MB Spice, a great experience. They even made us some of the tea, all the different teas. We got to try that. Also, one of the best places we ate in India, and it was hard to recommend places to eat in India because a lot of times you're just getting food from, you know, these random places that don't have names. One time we ate in someone's home. We thought it was a restaurant, but or they told us to come in. This was in Jodhpur, actually. They told us to come in. It wasn't really a restaurant. It was someone's house, but of course we paid them for the food. Really cool experiences, but in Jodhpur, there's a place called Indik, and that is in the Pal Haveli. And we'll link all this up in the show notes, guys. It is a fabulous rooftop restaurant, a little more expensive than the rest of India. So we're talking about, you know, $6 for a meal instead of maybe $3 or $2. But it is really, really cool. They've done a fantastic job of it. You have awesome views of the clock tower and the fort from up there. So that was probably our best meal in all of India for, in terms of experience and the actual food.
Yeah, the ambience there is something not to be missed. It was very Western and cosmopolitan, but you still felt like, I mean, you could see the fort in Jodhpur. You could see the clock tower. I mean, the views were just amazing up there.
Speaking of spices, though, we do have one funny story here. When we were walking back from the spice shop, and we had then gone to Indik and ate dinner there, there was a lot of wild dogs, and some of them are pretty, you know, they look rabid, they're aggressive, they don't know, so they're barking at you, they're coming at you. Well, luckily, Heather had bought like 3 kilos worth of spices in this bag that I had slung over my shoulder, so as the dogs would get close enough to us, I would kind of swing it. I never actually had to hit any of the dogs, but we felt a little safe there. So, but Jodhpur, for a really cool city, definitely go to Indik, stay at a Haveli, go up to the fort, and definitely go to MV Spice and buy some spices there. Just a really, really cool experience. After Jodhpur, then, we decided we were going to go to the last city on our trip was Udaipur.
So Udaipur, if you don't know, is the city of lakes because it has Lake Patola. I think that's the right pronunciation. And 4 other lakes that are surrounding the area. It's the infamous site of the James Bond Octopussy film. So there's lots of really interesting things about Udaipur.
Yeah, so if you ever see that film or you've seen the hotel that looks like it's floating on a lake, it's very famous. That is in Udaipur. And they will show the film Octopussy in basically every bar and restaurant every single night. Everywhere you go, they have signs that say, now showing Octopussy, as if it's this new thing.
So before we reached Udaipur, the drive from Jodhpur to Udaipur takes quite a few hours, but right in the middle is one of the most amazing spots I have ever been to in my life. It is called Ranakpur Jain Temple. So this temple is so stunning. The architecture of the temple, I've never seen anything like it. It has about 1,000 pillars that support the temple. Each one is more intricately carved than the last one. I could have stared at these pillars for hours, literally. And we did spend quite a few hours there, but no 2 pillars are the same. Everything was completely, just exquisitely carved.
Yeah, and these pillars, they say they actually can't count the number of pillars that are there, and that is very true. You walk in and there's pillars everywhere, and as Heather said, they're super intricately carved. It was just a really, really interesting, neat experience of a place that is kind of off the tourist path. I mean, there were enough tourists there for sure, but it's not near as well known, but to us, it was the coolest temple we had seen the whole time, including the Taj Mahal.
Yeah, we had a lot of really surreal experiences there. Travis actually sat with one of the, I guess you could call them a priest. I don't know, but sat with one of them and he asked if he could pray with Travis. So, I mean, we didn't really understand exactly what was happening, but we just took it as a time to kind of meditate and reflect on the places that we've been and the people who we are. And actually, another person came up to us in the temple and asked if they could paint an orange dot on our forehead. And we were like, why? What is this for? And they said it was a marriage blessing. So, of course, we're like, well, hey, can't hurt, right? So anyway, all these experiences just really summed this up to being my absolute favorite part of the trip.
And so if you do have the chance, if you're going to Udaipur, we would definitely suggest going to Ranak Purjan Temple. When we got to Udaipur, we had already booked a place to stay called the Tiger. We would recommend it. It was a very unique place. There was zebra and tiger print everywhere in this hostel, but it was right next to the lake. We had a fantastic view of the hotel that is the Octopussy Hotel. I don't know what the real name of it.
Lake Palace Hotel, I think.
The Lake Palace Hotel. Right next to the lake, it had a rooftop deck. The owners were really, really fantastic. So if you do go to Udaipur, you know, you can stay at the Tiger. It's definitely recommended. Some of the cool things that we did in Udaipur had.
Well, we arrived there in the evening, I believe. So we kind of walked around a little bit and we walked up to the city palace, which was closed, but it was completely lit up and you could see it. And we took a few pictures there. The next day, we actually went back and did the whole tour of this beautiful, beautiful city palace. I mean, it had a lot of Western influences in it from, I guess, the British occupation. But anyway, I took a lot of pictures there and it was just really quite stunning. It had really great terraces and you could see all different views of the city and the lake. Another cool spot, which was actually right down from our hotel, is the one main gate that leads you out to the lake. And there's something there that's called the Bathing Ghat, G-H-A-T. And it's just where women go and they wash their clothes and you can see them in their traditional saris. And they don't really like you looking at them or taking their pictures, but it just kind of gives you a glimpse of actual Indian culture.
So overall, we really liked Udaipur as well. One thing that we didn't do there, but our friends did that they highly recommended was they did take cooking classes, Indian cooking classes. And you can probably do that in any of the cities, but they said they did it in Udaipur and really liked it. One last note on Udaipur, it was really funny because we had the driver. And so Udaipur was our last stop. And then we had to get back to Mumbai. So we had booked a flight from Udaipur to Mumbai. And you can get flights very, very cheap in India. Intra-India flights are very cheap. So I think we paid probably $60 each or $50 each to go from Udaipur back down to Mumbai. So we get to the Udaipur airport. It is the smallest airport I've ever seen. After noon, they only have one flight the whole rest of the day. And that was the flight we were getting on at about 5 p.m. So it's really tiny. It's really funny. There was only about 25 people waiting for this flight. But we had to go through security three different times. So the first time was when we got into the airport, we went through security. Second time is when we had to go to our quote unquote gate, even though there was only one gate there. Then we sat there. And the third time was before we actually got onto the plane on the tarmac. They brought all this like rolling security thing, rolling the things that you have to walk through, the scanners. So they brought one of them out. They made Heather go in one that was covered for women. They made me go through one. So there was literally 25 people on the plane. There was 25 security guards and we had to go through security three times. So just a very funny Indian experience there. What we're going to do now at the end of each of these episodes, these destination diary episodes, so that kind of sums up our time in India. Of course, we would love to hear from you. We definitely did not go to everywhere in India. Like we said, we focused on Rajasthan. I know there's plenty of other really cool places. So if you've been to India or you have experiences in India, make sure you let us know. You can go to extrapackofpeanuts.com/India destination and just leave a comment there and let us know what we could do, where we could go next if we do come back for India. So what we're going to do now at the end of the show, we're going to do a can't miss, a thing that next time we go, we might skip and then a regret that we might have about this trip. But before we do that, Het's going to give us a few packing tips about India, because it can be a little difficult for women.
So for all you women listeners out there, just give you a little recap of what I packed on this trip. Now, I wasn't exactly as prepared as I should have been. At the time, we were living in Japan. We were in the process of moving back to the States. We'd just been in Singapore, Bali, and on to India, and I only had my backpack. So of course, I had packed a lot of shorts and dresses. When we arrived in India, even though we were in Mumbai, and it's very cosmopolitan and Western, if I walked out onto the street wearing shorts, men would just stare at me. It was incredibly uncomfortable, even though some of the upper class Indian women don't even wear saris and they will wear shorts, but it just is different for Westerners. And I think in order to be respectful, definitely pack pants. Linen is probably the best fabric. It's very hot there. I actually ended up going to some of the shops in Mumbai and buying a couple extra pair of linen pants. I had brought a maxi dress. Definitely bring maxi dresses and linen pants and loose tops. I had a hat with me, which was great for the desert, and scarves, because if you need to cover up when you're going into a temple, you need to have a scarf to cover up your shoulders. And when we were out in the desert and we had that windstorm, I literally wrapped that scarf around my entire face and it came in pretty handy. I don't think I got as sandy as Travis did.
Yeah, so for guys, it's you can wear almost anything. I would recommend that if you are going to the city during rainy season, you know, you want to bring shoes, not just sandals, because you will get really muddy. But other than that, for guys, you know, as far as packing, you're just going to look at the weather. And guys are okay with wearing shorts, and that's not uncommon or anything like that. But for women, you definitely want to be cognizant of what you pack, because it is a little bit different. All right, Heth, let's get into our three things here. We have our can't miss, so our favorite thing about this trip, you know, a thing that we would skip maybe next time if we went, that people, you know, don't necessarily have to go to, and then something that we would do that we didn't do. So I won't call it a regret, but I guess that's the best way to say it, what we would do next time we went. So give me your can't miss.
My can't miss was Ranakpur Temple.
All right. My can't miss, guys, was Jaisalmer, and Ranakpur Temple was awesome as well. I don't miss it. Jaisalmer, do the camel safari. Absolutely phenomenal city. All right. Now the thing that next time we went, you would definitely skip.
I would definitely skip probably doing that expat brunch. I don't know if that really counts. Also, Jodhpur was a beautiful city, but probably on the list at the bottom for me. So if you have to skip out on one city, I would choose that one.
For me, this is crazy. Everyone's going to think I'm crazy, but my skip is Agra and the Taj Mahal. Listen, I understand why people say they want to go to the Taj Mahal. I went. We did think it was beautiful, but Agra itself, I could not stand. It was by far the worst city we were in India. And the Taj Mahal is beautiful, but there were so many other cool spots in India, including Ranakpur, including Jaisalmer, Jodhpur, Jaipur, all those temples as well, that if you had to skip the Taj Mahal, I don't think it would be as earth-shattering as many people think it would be. That being said, if you go to the Taj Mahal, I'm sure you're going to like it. But for me, I wouldn't go back to it. All right, Heth, your last thing, the regret, the thing that you would do next time we go back to India.
When we went to India, we did not visit the city of Varanasi, which is the city of the dead, where they put the ashes down the river. And at first, I thought it would be a little strange to visit that city. So we easily just checked it off our list, because it would have added a couple extra days to get there because it's kind of out of the way. But looking back, I think it would be a really cool experience that I'm sad to have missed.
And my one regret, and I know Heather won't agree with this at all because we actually talked about why we were there, was not taking a public bus or a public train. Listen, I'm not some kind of sadist. I don't think that I would do the whole trip on public train, although you basically can go anywhere in India on a train for like less than $3. So it is super cheap if you are backpacking on a total budget. Go for it. We did not. We splurged for the driver. I splurge in quotes here. But I do regret not taking a public bus or a train at least once just to get the experience. So maybe next time when we go back, I'll have to do that all on my own. Right, Heth?
Yeah, I will not be joining you on that.
All right, guys, thanks so much for listening today. Thanks for the support. This is our first Destination Diaries one. I hope you liked it. Remember, if you've been to India, make sure to go to www.extrapackofpants.com/India destinations. Let us know where you've been, what you liked, what you wouldn't miss, what you would skip, things like that, so that people who haven't been here listening to this and thinking about ideas to go can have more information at their fingertips. If you've considered going to India, I hope this helps make your decision a bit easier. And if you have gone, like I said, www.extrapackofpants.com/India destinations. I hope this stirs up some amazing memories that you've had of a truly unique and fascinating place. I hope you're as excited as we are about these 20 plus podcasts coming your way this September. If you are, please let us know by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen to it, and leaving a rating and review. If you do leave a review, you might just get a shout out on the air. Today's review comes from Laffy Taffy Tiff, another great name, who writes,
"This podcast is awesome. I'm not sure how Trav does it, but each week's topic is almost always what I need at this stage of my trip planning. I'm thinking about going to Asia? Bam, podcast about travel fish. Wondering about house sitting? Bam, podcast with the founder of Trusted House Sitters, who I've already gotten two awesome house sits from. The tone is always conversational, and you can tell Trav is just a nice guy. An awesome podcast. You should give it a go."
Wow. I actually had to cut out a few parts of what she said because my head would have been even bigger. So thank you so much, Laffy Taffy Tiff. And thanks to everyone for listening and tuning in. Until tomorrow,
happy free travels.